Please pick up your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2. You'll find that on page 966. Matthew chapter 2, reading from verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more.
Well, we saw a little earlier one response to the birth of Jesus, that of the wise men, those who came from afar bringing their gifts to Jesus and worshipping him. And I guess that's the response that we're most comfortable with, certainly at Christmas time, but indeed at any time of the year, that of people coming to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But the passage that Stephen has just read for us shows to us another response to Jesus, one that we're not so comfortable with, indeed one that we're decidedly uncomfortable with, but actually a response that might ring truer of our human experience. That response is that of Herod, the king of the time in the region Jesus was born, who sought to remove Jesus, to deny his presence and his influence. Now, how exactly is that true of our human experience? For this morning, haven't we come together to acknowledge Jesus and to give him his worth? Isn't the response of many of us more like that of the wise men than that of Herod? For who here would deliberately mean to harm Jesus? Who here would want to see him removed? That's not our experience, is it? Well, the Bible gives an uncomfortable and a very direct answer to those questions. And the answer to them is, it is. That is, in our heart of hearts, we want to remove Jesus, or at least restrict his rule or level of influence. We as human beings want Jesus to be contained, to keep him within certain limits, to restrict the areas of life he can rule. In effect, this is what we seek to do. And I need two children to come forward and to help me at this point. So can I have two volunteers? Would you like to come forward and hold this for me? This is just a sign that says Jesus. And you're going to come forward as well. And what I want you to do with this red pen, which must not go anywhere else except on this, is to put a big line through the word Jesus. That's excellent. Okay. Now you stay standing there. Can you sit down? Hold it up high so that everyone can see. In effect, this is what we seek to do. We want to be rulers of our own lives, and we feel threatened by Jesus or by anyone else seeking to do otherwise, in the way that Herod was threatened by Jesus because he wanted to remain king. We seek to remove Jesus. Now, we all express our resistance to Jesus in different ways. In the case of Herod, that resistance was expressed in the most violent of ways. And what Herod did back then was absolutely appalling, killing innocent ones, or for the sake of having Jesus removed. But we express resistance to Jesus in other ways too, ways that may be different, less shocking, and certainly more socially acceptable, but ways that come nonetheless from the attitude of resistance to Jesus. For example, one of the ways we can resist Jesus is by simply ignoring him. And I need, at this point, another volunteer to come forward, another child. Who wants to help me out here? Okay, Naomi, come up to the front. Got some very old headphones here. What I want you to do is to put these headphones on and then to turn away from Jesus so you're not listening to him, you're just ignoring him. Okay, excellent. That's one thing that we can do to resist Jesus, simply by ignoring him. Or another way we can resist Jesus is by seeking to contain him. In effect, keeping him in the manger and nowhere else, limiting his rule and influence. After all, Jesus is only a baby, right? It's not the sensible or the fair thing to do, is it? To hand complete control of your life over to him? He is not capable. He is not trustworthy. He is not Lord. And in effect, this is what we do. Can I have another volunteer, please? Someone who will give me a hand at the front. Who we got here? At the back there, just in the middle. Yep. Oh, we got two. We can do it with two. That's fine. You take one end. Ruth, you take one end. Carlos, is it? Is it Carlos? Come around here. And we're going to... Come with me, Ruth. And we're going to... You just stay there now. And Carlos, you take the other one. And you walk around. So you're going to tie Jesus up. You're going to try and contain him. So come around. Duck under there. Keep coming all the way around. So we're putting the rope around. You stay with me, Ruth. And again. That's it. Right, you stay there, please. Just hold on to that. Doing a great job. Okay. So we seek to restrain Jesus so that his level of influence in our lives is reduced and we are actually the ones in control leading Jesus. Now, they're just two of the ways our own resistance to Jesus and therefore to God may be demonstrated. Now, guys, if you could go back to your seats now, I'll take this off you. You've done a great job. If I can untie you, excellent. I'll take that. Right, and I'll take that off you. Thank you very much for your help. But the very real danger in all of this, as Herod found, is that Jesus will outlive us. He will outrule us. And in the end, we will all have to turn to him. We will have to acknowledge his worth and submit to his rule, for he is the one that God has appointed the ruler of creation. And the Bible, again, is very plain speaking about all this. It reveals to us we each have a choice. We can either be like the wise men, come to Jesus and joyfully and willingly submit to him and offer our gifts to him, most significantly and importantly, of course, our lives, or we can insist on being like Herod and live as though we can remove Jesus. We can outlive and outrule him. That's the choice facing each one of us. And Jesus himself put it like this when he said these words. If I could have the words on the screen, please, Alad. This is what Jesus said. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And that's the choice facing each one of us. If you don't know much about Jesus, or your knowledge of Jesus is pretty much contained to the stable and not much more, then please do things to find out. Take a gospel home with you and read it. We have free copies of the Gospels available for anyone to take out in the foyer. Perhaps come along to one of the courses we run here, a Christianity Explored course or something similar, where you can find out more about the Lord Jesus. Or just keep coming to church here on a Sunday or near to where you happen to live. At least be informed about the decision you're making and the implications it holds. But if you already know about Jesus and you're aware the real reason you're keeping Jesus at arm's length isn't because you don't realise he is Lord, but it's simply because you want to keep control over your life, then the urgent summons today is to hand control of your life over to him. For this Jesus, who entered the world as a baby, came to die so that your sins could be forgiven. He came to die so that God's judgment could be taken away from you. He came to die so that you could have peace with God. Therefore, be very wise. Don't resist his rule. Accept the peace with God he offers today. Live under his rule. And ask God that he would grant these things to you through his blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a simple message, but a hugely important one. For the eternal futures of our souls depends upon it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent into the world so that we could have our sins forgiven and be restored in friendship with you. Please do forgive our hostility towards you and our efforts to resist Jesus as the rightful ruler of our lives. Please change our hostility toward him into a willing desire to worship him and to offer to him the whole of our lives. This we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.